Bible podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
To usher in this series, I want to talk to you. I'm very excited about this series. We're going to do something unique in that we will talk about five Bible characters in the next 5 weeks. Approaching this series from these lenses gives us five characters whose stories have involved a measure of mental and emotional anguish, beginning with the man named Elijah, a woman named Hagar, David, the king, before he became a king, and the woman named Hannah, and finally, no less than Jesus himself. Each one suffered a level of anguish that affected them mentally, emotionally, and at some level, even physically. Now, in order to make this messages or set of messages make sense, I want to be clear that these are not to undervalue or invalidate the importance of science, doctors, or medication when it comes to mental or emotional concerns. However, it is to say that the Bible has a lot of stories and a lot to say about this topic. In fact, it does not avoid the conversation, rather touches on it very quickly at the very beginning of the Bible. It teaches us that God knows what we're going through and He empathizes with us. Right in the get-go, in the first chapters of the book of Genesis, we find the story of Adam and Eve. It exhibits the Bible's understanding and acknowledges its potential dangers when these emotions are not managed properly. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, we find the negative mental and emotional attitudes from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." This account is really talking about the very first moment that Adam and Eve sinned against God. In verse 9, it says, "But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?'" And here God is simply wanting to have a conversation so can he hear the heart that is within Adam and Eve. In verse 10, the response of Adam was this. He answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." Notice these three emotions. Fear, which is the greatest emotion that every human being, including you and me, are hardwired on the inside. Secondly, he says, "I was naked." This emotion speaks about the emotion of insecurity. And finally, "so I hid," which is shame. These three constitute what is known as isolation. Isolation can now mean loneliness, sadness, or even greater anguish. This is just at the very beginning of the Bible. In the fourth chapter of Genesis, we find the story of the children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And there we find a series of other negative emotions ranging from envy, anger, frustration, guilt, and ultimately even downcast, or others would say depression. Today, we're going to tackle the story of a man named Elijah. The story of Elijah is very important because he is a major prophet in the Bible, akin to even Moses. In fact, in the New Testament, his name is always referred to right after Moses when they says Moses and Elijah in one breath. In the book of 1 Kings and 2 Kings captures the story of this man, a prophet of God, someone who was brave and fearless. He prayed with power, and then there was a drought for 3.5 years, and then prayed again and the rains came. He confronted over 450 of the Lord's enemies alone and defeated all of them. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, now begins the negative side of what happened to this man, this prophet named Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, it was a day when the nation of Israel had become very wicked, and now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he killed all the prophets of Baal with a sword. Now notice what Ahab was the king and Jezebel was his wife, and said everything that this Elijah was actually going up against them because he confronted them about the evil they were doing. Now the next verse in verse 2 says, "So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be it or so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like what, like one of the prophets that he had killed.'" Now it says in the next verse in verses 3 and 4, "Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness." Interesting. Here is a man that after all the fearlessness, the bravery, the power, we find him fearing the words of one woman. Elijah was afraid. Not only was he afraid, he literally ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, there he left his servant, which means he was about to quit, getting rid of staff. Now, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, Lot lost in his course, in the course of where he's headed, he now heads for the wilderness himself. The second part of verse 4 says, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it and prayed that he might die. A certain way, maybe he was quite suicidal, apart from the fact that he's a believer of God and knew he had no authority to take his own life. I've had enough, he says. And out of his mouth comes this idea of, I'm ready to give up. I'm overwhelmed by his own confession. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Basically declaring, degrading himself. What happened here? Now, this is a story of you and I and our emotions and our mental issues being on the top of a mountain and eventually, while being on top of the mountain, the very next day on a twisted ride down the valley of personal destruction. I've entitled this message, Surviving Your Roller Coaster Ride. Elijah was afraid. He was a fearless man, and yet he was running for his life, journeyed into the wilderness, prayed that he would just die. I've had enough. I'm no better than everybody else. How did something like this happen? To understand chapter 19 of 1 Kings, you need to understand chapter 18. Now, the events in Mount Carmel that happened here, this is actually a chronicle of events in that portion of Israel, is something that you will find if ever you had a chance to go to Israel. In the top of Mount Carmel, there's a monastery. I've been there at least 3 times throughout my lifetime. And if you go there in the courtyard, there stands the statue of Elijah the prophet. On the roof of that monastery, you will find this view where you can take pictures or listen to a headset and understand what was going on in this place. Tourists often come to this place. The view is spectacular. That view shows you the ranges of that place where Mount Carmel was, where Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. It was also the place where he prayed that ended a 3.5-year drought. Spectacular view, spectacular events. Now we come back to the tail end of 1 Kings chapter 18, where it says, meanwhile, this is after Elijah prayed that the rains would come, the sky grew black and the clouds and the wind rose. A heavy rain started falling and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Now notice where it says Ahab rode off to Jezreel. In other words, he was rushing to go to his palace to announce the good news that rain had come and the drought had ended. Now, meanwhile, the next verse says in verse 46, the power of the Lord came on Elijah. And tucking his cloak in his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab on all the way to Jezreel. Now, that's an interesting thought. Ahab was riding a chariot, most likely, or a horse, while he was running on his feet. Now, here comes the end of chapter 18 and the beginning of chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed the prophets of Baal. And this was not just the announcement of the rains, but literally the telling of Jezebel what had happened. Let me summarize this brief story. Elijah is now has confronted Ahab and the powers that be, including his wife and the prophets who were allied to them. At the same time, he confronted the people of Israel how they've broken covenant with God. In the midst of that, Elijah just began to declare a drought, and the drought actually happened. In all of these events, Elijah begins to confront the prophets of Baal. He defeats them. He demonstrates the power of God. He runs and prays for rain, and he literally runs to Jezreel. Think about all the physical effort while all the emotional and mental effort was happening. As soon as he gets there, he realizes Ahab and Jezebel, maybe he was thinking that they will be overthrown, only to realize when he gets there that they're still in power. In other words, the people who killed the prophets of Baal did not rise up against the powers that be, and as a result of that, they're seeking to kill him, and now he's running for his life. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 3 and 4 says, Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba, he left his servant. He was ready to quit. And watch what happens, and this is what God does when we find ourselves in this mental anguish as well as emotional setbacks. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5, it says, all at once, and there's God responding to the issue of Ahab, or rather of Elijah. All at once, the angel touched him. Notice the words, all at once, the angel touched him. And he says, get up and eat. God meets him at his physical need, not in a spiritual need. First, he instructs him what to do. God knew that our mental as well as emotional needs are rooted with our bodies. And when their bodies are overwhelmed because of all the work that Elijah had done, he needed to be refreshed. get up and eat. And notice the next verse where it says, he looked around and there by his head was some baked bread over hot coals and a jar of water. God knows that he didn't just need to eat, and God provided for his need, because God knows that if we're going to overcome our mental or emotional issues, it begins with our physical bodies. He ate and drank, and then he laid down again. God just made him sleep. Many times, our issues of our mental or emotional state is because we're not taking care of our physical bodies. Trust me when I tell you that the little sleep and the little eating and the little drinking can do wonders for your mental and emotional state. God knows many of our emotional states are because of these. My first point is allow God to restore you physically. Many of our burnout issues are physical in nature. It starts with our bodies being overworked, just like Elijah, driven by the things that have happened in the past. And that's why we need to allow God to restore us physically. Now, allow him to instruct you and provide. And this is literally what God did for Elijah. He instructed him, get up and eat. And at the same time, provided him the food to be able to do that. During COVID, I remember many times when I would pray and I would hear simple but practical messages from God. Avoid certain places, Joey. Wear your mask, Joey. Drink lots of water, Joey. Take vitamin C and zinc, Joey. Don't tire yourself, Joey. Don't self-medicate. Go see a doctor when you're not feeling well. Sometimes we overdo our mental and emotional state by sitting in those things rather than listening to God and taking care of our physical needs. First Kings chapter 19, verse 7 continues. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him again. Notice that God was trying to make sure that Elijah got the point. He says, get up and eat. In other words, take care of your physical necessities and take care of your physical body. But there was a second thing that the angel added this time. For the journey is too much for you. Allow God to restore you physically means allowing him to instruct you and to provide for you, but it also means allowing him to show you your limitations. The angel was trying to tell Elijah, there are limitations to what you can do. And as a result, you need to rest. In times of COVID, once again, I remember the many times God would tell me about my limitations. Joey, you're getting older. Sleep longer and take naps. And I really took that to heart. To this day, I take regular naps in the afternoon to just make sure my body's restored. As we get older, our physical bodies change. And we need to know our limitations, because that can affect our physical bodies and consequently our minds and our emotions. Instead of running, just walk. Use your body weight, God tells me. Stop carrying all these heavy weights and injure yourself. But I'm going to say that doesn't mean that that's for everybody. What I'm simply saying here is you need to hear God explain to you your current limitations for your own physical body. Take certain supplements. Eat less sugar. And all of these things were limitations and instructions that God was showing me during that time. Back in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8, he got up and finally ate and drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. Notice the word strengthened by that food. Sometimes it is as simple as resting and eating and sleeping that we become strengthened. And many times when God strengthens us, it's not just because he wants to give you an immediate breakthrough to your issues. It's just enough to get you to the next stage. Maybe he wants you to exercise for 40 days. Maybe he wants you to rest for 40 days. The point is, many times there is no immediate breakthrough. But strength can be able to make us take the next step. Point being, allow God to restore you physically, to instruct you and provide for you. Allow him to show you your limitations. Allow him to strengthen you physically over time. Generally speaking, when you see the things that make your physical body develop, it's over time and not instant. Too many people go to the gym and think that within a week, their life will change. Things don't happen overnight. God does not always give us the immediate breakthrough, but gives us the strength to take the next step. To find the right balance, if you're going to lose weight, the best way to lose weight is over time and season. The best way to gain energy is over giving up certain things, certain breaking habits, and learning new ones in order to become strong. This was what God was showing Elijah. And this is true for you and me. If we're to have the right mental and emotional attitude, we need to allow God to restore us physically, allow him to instruct us and to provide for us, allow him to show us our limitations and allow him to strengthen us physically over time. Further, in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8, he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he was able to now travel, literally exercise, for 40 nights until he reached Horeb. This is one of the things God did, until he reached the mountain of God. The interesting thing about Mount Horeb is actually it is the same mountain called Mount Sinai. Now, I don't want to give you the minutia of where that came from, but you can Google that and you'll realize Mount Horeb is actually Mount Sinai. In fact, if you climb Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, you will find a special marker that says Elijah's Basin. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9, it says, "There he went into a cave and spent the night." There again, resting in God, taking this valuable time, God grants sleep to those he loves. One of my favorite verses. God wants you to sleep and rest your physical body so that your mental and emotional states can rest as well. And when that happens, your physical body is rejuvenated and everything's working. It allows you to be able to move further with God. Now, notice what happens next. The word of the Lord came to him. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Interesting question. Have you ever wondered whether God knew why he was there? Of course he did. He's God. The point of asking that was because God was doing what he did for Adam. He wanted to hear what was in his heart. God knew that at this point in Elijah's life, he needed a listening ear. He was restoring him not just physically, but this time he was restoring him mentally and emotionally. In other words, psychologically. When you ever hear the word psychology, it simply means your mental and emotional state. Now, point number two is allow God to restore you psychologically. God knows that we're more than just physical beings. We're relational. As such, we are psychological beings with minds and emotions, and that is valuable to God. Now, God knows that if we are not restored psychologically, we tend to regress. In other words, get stuck in the past. Or we tend to suppress, to forcibly deny the state of the truth of the reality of where we are, and then we end up repressing, or that constant suppression, which makes us now think that though we are unconscious of it, we're still living in the same emotional and mental state. God wanted Elijah to talk about it. As such, in verse 9, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And out of that comes, out of Elijah's mouth, the words he replied, 'I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty.'" In short, he was telling God, "I have always served you." And then he goes on to say, "The Israelites have rejected your covenant." He's regressing and has forgotten all that God has done that was good. And yet God continues to listen to him. God patiently listens, knowing full well, focusing on the bad stuff while he was focusing on the bad stuff is not a healthy thing. And yet he patiently listens to him while overlooking all the good stuff. Elijah's just ranting. Like a good psychiatrist who now knows that because his patient is well-fed, well-rested, even had a moment of exercise, he wants to listen to him. God listens to him without interrupting him. In fact, Elijah continues in verse 10 where he says, "I'm the only one left." Now he has forgotten not just the good stuff, he's talking about something that's not even true anymore because he's not the only one that's left. But God allowed him to speak that so he can vent himself. "And now they're trying to kill me too." Now Elijah gets vulnerable for all his fearlessness. He's a major prophet of God. He expresses his fears and dives into self-pity. Now notice what happens in verse 11. "The Lord God said, 'Stand out on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.'" Now God was wanting to tell Elijah, "Let me minister to you." Interestingly, to Elijah, that's not what it meant. You must understand something here. Elijah is a prophet of God. And when he hears God passing by in Mount Sinai, what he's thinking of is Moses. Moses in Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments, and Moses' request for God to see God's glory. Elijah knows that when that happens, a weird thing happened. Explosive thunder, smoke, lightning, earthquakes, and all hell will break loose. And that's exactly what happened in this declaration that God made to Elijah. 1 Kings 19 verse 11 says, "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. and after the fire came a gentle whisper. Now, two lessons we can learn here. First, we cannot put God in a box. Elijah put God in a box thinking it will be the same thing he did with Moses. Truth of the matter is, God was restoring him psychologically, and God knew that in order to be restored psychologically, if we're to be allowed to be restored psychologically, we need to understand that God has a listening ear and God is a gentle God. He deals with us gently. When Elijah heard it, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. In short, Elijah, knowing what was about to happen, did not go out of the cave. But after he saw the goodness, the gentleness, the love of God and wanting to restore him, he put on his cloak and over his face and went out to meet God. Then the voice of him said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is interesting. The second time, the same question God asks him really is an appeal to say, "I love you and am gentle to you. Speak to me." Interestingly, Elijah repeats the exact same rant. He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." And God responds by still listening and allowing him to experience, number one, his gentleness, and number two, that he deals with him patiently. When God restores us, he doesn't just restore us physically. He knows that when we're physically restored, he can now move to restore us psychologically. He deals with us gently. He deals with us patiently. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29 and 30 says, Jesus says, "Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Notice the words, "I am gentle and humble of heart." This is the God that came to earth for us. And because of that, you will find rest for your minds, which is your soul, and your emotions. Let me summarize this point. Allow God to restore you psychologically. He deals with us gently. He deals with us patiently. Most of all, he gave us a life of gentleness in Jesus. The God we serve is not just the God of the business of purpose and mission and taking over the world. He cares about our physical lives, our mental and emotional health. Now we find Elijah restored. Physically restored, psychologically restored. Now he has clarity and is ready to move forward with God. We find next in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15, these words. The Lord said to him, "Go back to the way you came from, to the desert of Damascus." In other words, you're already back for mission, and here's what you need to do. "I want you, when you get there, anoint Hazael, king of Aram." In other words, he's not even talking about Ahab or Jezebel or Israel. He's talking about a completely different nation. It was God's way of telling him, "I know what's going on. I'm in control of everything. I'm about to do something great here. And you need to understand I'm bigger than you think and I'm in control." This was the message that God wanted Elijah to realize. Now, next he says, "Anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, king of over Israel." Now, that's an interesting command to him, because basically what God was telling him was, this is the guy, and in fact, he was the guy who will deal with Ahab and Jezebel. He was the guy who eventually killed and overthrew that rulership. Thirdly, he says, "Anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Abel-Mahola, to succeed you as prophet." In other words, he was saying, prepare the guy who's going to take over from you. You're going home. You see, God did not only restore him physically, restore him psychologically, God assures Elijah spiritually. The third thing we need to do is allow God to assure us spiritually that his plans are bigger than ours, that his view is clearer than ours, and thirdly, his ways are not our ways. Surviving your roller coaster ride begins with allowing God to restore you physically. How does he do that? Allow him to instruct you and provide for you. Allow him to show you your limitations. And thirdly, allow him to strengthen you physically. Secondly, allow God to restore you psychologically. He deals with us gently. He deals with us with patience. And thirdly, he gave us Jesus, our gentle God who loves us. And finally, allow God to assure you spiritually. His plans are bigger. His view is clearer. And finally, his ways are not your ways. Let me close with a word of prayer as we proclaim Jesus our Lord. Pick up a piece of bread and a cup and join me in this short word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that it is your desire to restore us physically. to guide us and provide for us, to show us our limits and limitations, and within that, to find our new stride. Most of all, strengthen us physically. We receive your gentle nature, your patience, your willingness to listen, to restore us mentally, emotionally, and psychologically. And Lord, thank you for assuring us that your plans are bigger, your view is clearer, your ways are nowhere close to ours, and you are in complete control. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.